Hello, this is Jack Vaughn for the Serverside.net. Today on our Serverside.net Pod Talk, we're going to be glad to be speaking with Simon Guest. The topic will be SOA and how design relates to people, how end users fit into the equation, and even asking if they're sometimes overlooked as we build interesting server and middleware architectures. Simon Guest is a group program manager in the architecture study team at Microsoft Corporation. He's also the editor of the Architecture Journal. So as far as he's concerned, as far as we're concerned, he's a good guy because he's an editor like myself, Jack Vaughn. So thanks, folks, for being with us today, and thanks, Simon. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Thanks, Jack. Thanks for having me on the show.
As we speak, we're nearing Tech Ed. Are you looking forward to being in Boston?
I am. This will be my first time to Boston next week, so looking forward to seeing a new city, and I think we've got a good event lined up next week as well.
Well, we're Boston people on the serverside.net, and we're glad that Microsoft is coming here. And so what we'd like to get to is some of the stuff you will probably be talking about at this conference, and I think we'd start with SOA, service-oriented architecture, and the issue of people. Are we getting people into the equation? And when I say we, I mean the design community.
So yeah, absolutely. So my session next week is called, the title of it is called the Putting the User Back into SOA. And this is an area I've been looking at for the last 6 months or so. I want to put a disclaimer out there. I'm not a design guy. I'm not a UX expert. I come from a very, I guess, traditional kind of infrastructure and architecture background. But more recently, I started looking at the importance of users and user experience for kind of architects, and especially what it means when we build or create service-oriented architectures and the kind of relationship with the users here.
Okay.
So let me give you a classic story that I see quite a lot of the time. Let's say you're an architect, you're working on a project, and it gets handed down from say the CIO or something lands on your desk. As architects, it's so tempting, and we do this project after project. We put so much effort into things like web services and how the service orientation is going to work and what the database is going to look like and whether we're going to use a message queue or how these two servers are going to interact. And we put so much time and effort into the infrastructure part of the equation that sometimes we kind of forget the real end user. We kind of forget the user experience. And what I've seen happen frequently is we'll get to the end of the project. Let's say it's a 12-month project. We're reaching the end, and then we'll realize, well, it looks great. It seems to be working great, but we need a UI. We need to actually create some kind of user experience here for the user. And I've seen more often than not that this particular piece gets left until very late into the project. And as a result, it's hurried, it's not really ingrained in the development team from day one. And as a result, you deliver this to the user and they get a less than desirable user experience.
Well, would they have done requirements analysis and yet somehow skipped this aspect of the design?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, many projects do a very good job at kind of requirements analysis, but I guess my argument is that often the user kind of experience and what the user interaction is going to be like is actually left until fairly late into the project. So we may have some requirements from the business that the application must do this or it must interact in this kind of way. But the actual true experience is kind of left until late.
So I guess you don't use little stick figures. How do you go about creating scenarios, solving what you describe as something of a problem?
It is, and part of my talk next week is really looking at the different elements of user experience as it relates to architects. And without giving too much of the talk away, of course, I believe there's kind of three main areas that we kind of need to think about. I think visualization is a very important area. So what does the application look like? How is it presented on the screen? What's the visual interaction with buttons and controls between the user and the interface? However, visualization is just not enough when it comes to the user experience. And the second area that's very important is foundation. So if I have an application that has a poor foundation, maybe it's unreliable, maybe it doesn't store my data in the right way, it keeps crashing, that itself kind of builds up to a bad user experience. And then the third area I kind of look at is kind of context. So even if you've got a good foundation for a user experience, and even if it looks nice, there's still got to be the question of, well, how does it fit in with my lifestyle? How do I use it in relation to other applications? Does it look familiar to me? Is it going to fit in with kind of my kind of day-to-day role? And then based on those three areas, you can obviously look at tools and kind of processes and kind of resources that help you kind of build kind of a better user experience from that.
Okay, well, I think designers and developers are often unfairly characterized as people that really want to be in front of terminals and don't want to deal with people. I don't think that's fair, but and yet end users often come to that conclusion. Do you discuss this at all in any of your thinking?
I actually do. So so the designer and developer relationship is actually really interesting. Because over the past few months I've been looking at different methodologies and also projects that had both good and bad experiences with the user experience and then seeing what kind of methodology that that was actually used. And it's kind of interesting to one of the interesting points is to look at, well, how do developers and designers actually interact with each other? And this can often kind of dictate what type of user experience that you're actually going to have. So, for example, if we have a methodology that is very dev-focused, so the UI is created by, say, a developer without a particular background in design, and then we apply a designer, then typically the output that we get is a very nice-looking UI because the designer has had the ability to kind of apply some visual aspects.
Ah, so the type of designer we're talking about here is the web interface or smart client interface designer.
That's right. So so the person that's going to basically add some polish and add the maybe some common look and feel to the actual application. So that's an interesting scenario. And then if you flip the two, so what happens if a designer designs the user interface first and then gives it to the developer?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of interesting as well because in some kind of projects that I saw, the designer has actually come up with designs that really don't make sense for the interface, or they're not going to work well on the hardware. It's just not going to be a great experience to actually code from the actual platform level. So the key here is how we actually get designers and developers to kind of work in some kind of unison and heading towards the same goals while kind of respecting each other's area.
And is the XAML, X-A-M-L, play a part in that from your thinking, or...
I think it is going to. I mean, if we look back over the past few years, obviously XAML is still a new technology. So there's not really many case studies we can point to.
Yeah.
But I think I'm pretty excited with XAML because it's the first language that really enables us to cross this boundary. It's the first language that I can give to a designer, and the designer can think about brush types and other design elements in the user experience. And then it's also the first language that I can give to a developer, and they can open it up within Visual Studio or an IDE. They can look at it, XML. You can bind events to it. It's a great fit for kind of for both roles there.
Okay, and then of course humans have a common language, but things don't always work out quite right. Coding sessions be different if people put the person back in SOA, or where in the jam sessions that create software is there going to be a difference?
So my feeling on this is we're going to have if you take say a waterfall methodology where you're designing kind of code from kind of top down, I think what we're going to see is when it comes to designing the user interface, we're probably going to see the actual stream split into two. So I think the project starts, we create some use cases, that's going to involve both the designers and developers, that's fine. Prototyping should involve both as well. And you mentioned kind of prototyping in a previous question. So it's amazing when I think about architects, when we draw on the whiteboard, I mean, most of our diagrams are kind of, well, a web service here and a database here and maybe a web server here. Rarely do we actually design like the look and feel of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole kind of movement around something called paper prototyping, which is actually thinking, well, what's the screen look like? What controls go here? What happens when I click on this control and then check that radio button and click OK? What's the experience for the user? And I think it's something that kind of as architects we kind of sometimes miss. So we've got the prototyping stage, and then what I think will happen is we'll see kind of two streams. We'll see the development of the UX and also the development of services within the application itself. And I think in a good setup, these can happen in parallel, providing the kind of use cases are well defined and the prototyping is good. I can potentially split my team and say, well, look, you're working on the UX side of things and you're working on the kind of SO side of things. And then what we'll do at each iteration, we'll actually bring you guys back in, and then actually plug these things together and kind of integrate the application.
Now, before you had mentioned three pillars of visualization, foundation, and context, and I thought I understood foundation pretty well. Does some of the stuff you talked about in terms of paper prototyping relate to the concept of visualization?
That's right. So the paper prototyping really looks at the visual elements itself. What's the screen going to look like, and what's the kind of the interface between the actual application and the user, I guess. Foundation is really more about the platform. So this is looking at things like WPF, Windows Presentation Foundation, even some of the patterns and practices materials like the composite application block or the smart client work. It's really about what can I do to get this base very solid and very very kind of reusable in terms of the clients that I look at. And then context really is about the kind of stuff in the middle. It's really, well, is this the best way to do things? So, for example, I may have a wonderful application that I don't know, searches for some documents. Well, context really is about, well, how should I search for these documents? Should I have a different interface that has a search box and an OK button? Or should I really step back and say, well, actually I want to be integrating with MSN Search or Google Search or something that's already in tune and aligned with the way that users want to work today?
Okay. So I have a couple other questions, but I'd shift a bit to the composite application block you mentioned related to foundation, and the specific block for smart clients, we've covered it on the site, but I still think it's good to get, say, your perspective on what it is.
Sure. So so the composite application block is kind of a part of kind of the patent and practices group. Their kind of overall messaging for how you should go about building smart clients. And the composite application block, or CAB for short, is kind of interesting because it was actually developed based on real-life projects. So what we were doing, this is probably about 2, 3, 4 years ago now, is we were actually looking at the types of user interfaces that were being designed for certain types of applications. So financial services or call centers. And we were looking at those user interfaces and saying, well, what are the kind of patterns that we can derive out of there? And based on those patterns, what can we actually do to create kind of reusable or a reusable foundation? So CAB in itself, in its simplest terms, you can think of CAB as like a shell. So this is it's a smart client shell that kind of runs on the actual machine itself, and then the shell is populated by something called smart parts, or also known as WIN parts. But these are modules that can actually be run in the shell itself. And what CAB does is kind of offer a prescriptive architecture for building these types of shell-based applications where you have one or more parts that actually interact with each other.
Okay, well, just a question. Let's pretend we're in a development scenario, and the users have described their requirements. What I've often seen is very able and senior developers or designers, maybe, you know, as the issues are described to them, they always start to look like problems they've solved in the past, and they kind of go back and rebuild the system they might have built before. And have you ever seen that? Do you how would say a head of a team try to mitigate between a hotshot developer and user?
It's tough. I mean, there is with any group of developers, there's always a tendency to lean back to kind of what I call the comfort zone, which is stuff that you've done in the past,
and get coding quickly too.
Yeah, of course, you're going to get the application out. Obviously, that's at times going to be at the risk of the actual project itself, because then you end up with something that doesn't meet the requirements, and you're kind of done for. So a lot of this also relates to the, let's say we are going to get in a designer for the actual application. Let's say we're going to invest early in the life cycle, and we are going to get a designer into the project. The question is, well, what types of designers should we be speaking to, and are there more than one types of designer for this particular problem?
Okay.
And I actually think there's a couple of different roles that a designer can play. The first one is, I think, a very kind of traditional graphical designer. So this is someone that has the creative capability to design just beautiful looking applications. So it's about, well, the image is going to be there, it's going to be aligned in this way, the buttons are going to be certain shape and color and size and texture and whatever. So a very, very kind of graphical designer. But for designer kind of limitations, I don't think that's enough. I think there's a need for a second type of designer, which is more of an interaction designer. So having like a screenshot or a JPEG created professionally for you for a UI is typically not enough. You then need to actually say, well, what happens when I click on this button? or what happens if I scroll down here, or what happens if I get this set of data here and highlight a row and do this. There's a whole element of design, I think, that's really related to the actual interaction itself.
Let me just ask you, looking at TechEd coming up and the idea of putting people in design, is there stuff that you'd like to add to our conversation today?
I'm hoping that TechEd this year will really see kind of more of an emphasis on some of the design elements that we have in the platform. So that obviously includes my session from an architectural perspective, but I think if you also look at the product perspective as well, in terms of additional sessions on WPF, on XAML, there's, I believe, some sessions on our expression set of products, which, again, really ties well into these kind of different roles of designers. And, of course, all of that is built upon beta 2 of Vista and Office, which if anyone's tried them, I think give a very good feel of the kind of new user experience that these are providing.
Well, our expectation is this podcast will run after TechEd is over, but we consider this an ongoing issue, and it does seem like this is the year of Vista and Outlook, Vista and Office, and finding ways to design in a bit of a new fashion.
Absolutely. A good example of that, if I may, is the ribbon in Office.
Right.
So this is actually a part of Office I really like. Basically, in Office 2007, you now have like the top inch and a bit of the screen is dictated as what's called the ribbon. And the nice thing about this, and this kind of comes back to my context pop kind of a sample earlier, is that ribbon actually changes depending on what you're doing. So if I'm editing a piece of text in Word, then it contains like fonts and colors and sizes, alignment, that kind of thing. But then when I click on a diagram, the ribbon actually changes and shows me, you're on a diagram now, so you're probably going to want to do things like 3D effects and shadows and kind of picture editing and that kind of thing. And I think the nice thing about that, or one of the options with that, is taking that same context into maybe business applications as well. So maybe if I click, I've got a user interface, let's imagine, and I'm displaying a customer. Well, maybe you can imagine like a ribbon that shows all of the things I can do with a customer, like change the address or update a telephone number or view past details and that kind of thing. And then once I click on another element, the ribbon, let's say it's an order, the ribbon could actually change and say, what do you want to do with this order? Do you want to cancel, stop, and add more kind of contextual options to it? So I think it's a very powerful paradigm that could actually see itself working into definitely more applications.
Well, personally, I think we have made quite a lot of progress on the server front over the last 10 years, and that it'd be a good thing to revisit the user interface.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Simon, for being with us, and looking forward to seeing you and also perhaps talking with you again on our format.